This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's a beautiful day.
Yes, and it's the return of summer.
I know. It's not the return of spring. It's the return of summer.
Yeah.
What went wrong?
I don't know, but I think we had like 2 weeks or maybe 3 weeks of spring, and we're going to skip right over the rest of it, and we're going to go straight into like July kind of weather.
I can't believe it. At 90s in April is just a little much for me.
Yes. We should be around 93, 95 on Tuesday. We should be around 76 for this time of year.
You see, I mean, that is amazing. In April, it's going to go that much higher than what it's supposed to be.
Yes. And I know it's too early to tell, but we may have a warm Easter.
A warm Easter. That'll be really unusual. Yeah. As I've always said, we've always had to wear coats on Easter because it's so chilly out.
Yeah.
And if you go to Easter sunrise service, it's really cold.
Yeah. Well, this year, Easter sunrise service might be hot.
It might be a warm, warm morning, right?
Yeah. Which makes me think, goodness gracious, if we're all already this warm, well, what's it going to be like in July and August?
It's going to be 112. You remember the year that it was 112?
I do, yes.
And what did we have, 4 or 5 days like that?
Oh, yeah. It was dangerous.
It was, and they were telling people, if you do not have to go outside, do not go outside.
Mm-hmm.
And no gardening, no yard work. I mean, it was hot.
Oh, yeah. No. And I think we had you couldn't burn anything. You couldn't use your water outside. You couldn't. There was a lot of other things besides your health that I think we were warned about. Yeah, pets, you know, it gets dangerous for pets as well.
Oh, yes.
You can't even take them for a walk. If you take your pets for a walk when it's 112, their pads get too hot on the pavement, so you have to watch out for that. Oh, yeah, it's a dangerous situation when it gets that hot.
Well, let's hope that it's not going that far this year. Let's hope it slows down to about 95. 90. I mean, you know, 95 is just about where I'm comfortable, you know.
Yeah.
When everybody else is really hot, I'm just going, this is great, this is great.
Yeah. And this is a great place for you, then. You're going to like this coming week, I think.
Oh, my gosh. In the 90s, folks. I want everybody to hear that.
Ooh, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
So now people are thinking about, summer vacations. They're thinking, oh, boy, you know, yeah, it's getting warm. Easter is, what, 2 weeks away? And so they've got these things on the mind. And they're not thinking about, this is a great time to start saving for retirement. This is not the time to go and start pulling back your money. We need to save our extra money, and we need to use that when we go on summer vacation. We need to start planning for that now. And the funny thing is, and I talked to a couple people this week, they're already planning summer vacation, but haven't once thought about planning for retirement. Isn't that crazy?
It is pretty crazy. I mean, you've got to do both. I mean, you don't want to spend so much every year on vacation that you can't think about your retirement. Your retirement will be upon you in no time. It's like the days of the week. Had you thought about that? We start out on Monday, and before we know it, it's Friday.
Yeah.
And retirement is the same way. It will slip up on you. Now, I had a lot of calls this week, and the calls were all people saying, Faye, we need to do something. And one of them was 70 years old, and the husband was 79. and they were wanting to do an annuity. The other people were fixing to be given early retirement from their company. In other words, they want to get rid of the older guys. I know what they're doing. And saying, well, let us give you a package, you know. So they'll get a package and they can retire. So they're going to retire early from this company with this package. If they don't, they said it won't be good, you know. Once they tell you they'll give you an early retirement, you better go ahead and take it.
Is that a good idea, to take early retirement?
If you have to. In other words, if a company says, instead of you working the next 10 years for us, or 5 years, whatever it is, until retirement, they're saying, let us give you a buyout package that will equal that.
Okay. So they'll give you that same amount, you'll just get it in one check.
You're going to get it early.
Yeah.
And they're going to say, let us give you all the vacation you would have had. They'll add up all the vacation time you would have gotten, and they'll put that in there. Sick leave, if you have any sick leave you didn't take, that goes in the package. Everything goes in it. And sometimes it's a good deal, sometimes it isn't. I've seen some that were bad, and I recommended they not take it and wait a couple of years. Mm-hmm. But this one sounds like it might be okay.
Okay.
So they're going to be bringing that money to us, and we're going to be investing it.
Now, and that's what I was going to ask. When people get a lump sum like that, whether it's a some kind of an early retirement, or some kind of a bonus, or maybe somebody signs on with a new company, they get a signing bonus, or whatever the case may be, or an inheritance, or who knows what. When people get that lump sum, I think a lot of times what they do is they think, oh gosh, what can I do? Some people there's low, medium, and high. There's three tiers to how people respond to sudden influxes of money. The first tier is that they'll go out and they'll buy something, a new truck or a house or a boat or whatever the case may be. They'll go out and buy something extravagant. Maybe they'll take a vacation, whatever. Then you have the people in the middle that will do something semi-responsible. They'll pay down some credit cards, or if they've got some debt on something, maybe they'll pay off a vehicle, or maybe make some extra payments on a house. All those are really great. And then you have the third tier of people that are uber responsible, and they will take that and they will use that lump sum and they'll do something responsible for the future, like save for retirement, do some kind of investing, do something that's actually productive for their future. So I have a feeling I know what you're going to say, but what would you recommend? Because some people want to do all three. How would you recommend people kind of divide up if they're in that situation?
Well, it's going to depend, first of all, on their age. We're going to say, okay, if you're 55 years old, are you going to take early retirement, and get this lump sum? Or is it too soon? Or can you take that and then turn to another company and go ahead and work? And sometimes that works. I've seen people do it. And they came out ahead because they had the early retirement money. Then they went to work for another company, and they earned a lot in the next 5 years. So that works out sometimes. And then we have people that, like you say, they say, well, I've got this house. I've almost got it paid for. Do I need to go ahead and pay for the house? There's so many variables. You don't know which way to go. If you're out there and you're going, well, my house isn't quite paid for. I probably need to pay for it if I'm going to quit at work. So there's a lot. You have to figure all those circumstances. And then you have to say, okay, if I'm really going to retire in 5 years or 7 years, how much do I need to be saving to make it happen?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people say, well, I'm not saving enough. I could not retire. And I ask them, do you have enough to retire on? Well, no. Okay, how much are you going to need? Let's figure it out.
And I think that kind of brings up a good point. It leads into the pre-retirement plan. It's almost like pre-planning for planning. There are some things that people need to do because we know that when we go into retirement, you don't want to have any debt. So, you know, maybe if somebody is 5-10 years out and they're in the shape to maybe start paying some things down or make extra payments, or if they're in a position, go ahead and pay some things off. And so we talk all the time about, you know, investing and getting ready for retirement and things like that. But there are other things that people can do to get ready for retirement. And I'm sure you would probably recommend this, but maybe paying things off might be a good step, at least a step in the right direction, right?
I think so. And sometimes people can make extra payments on their house. You know, instead of, if their payment is $2,000 a month, pay $4,000 a month, and it won't take any time. You'll have it paid for.
Mm-hmm.
Because, so there's a lot of things you can do to get out of debt real fast.
Right, exactly. And you know, and then you know, when you pay early payments, you're also avoiding some of those charges that go along with it. You're avoiding some of the interest that you would be paying down the road, you know, by slicing your principal. And so those are all helpful things when it comes to retirement as well. And I think a lot of people say, well, you know, gosh, you know, I don't want to take, you know, I've got some extra money, or I've got a little bit of wiggle room here in the budget, and I'm not sure I'm ready to go ahead and start investing, or I don't want to get all in. But there are plenty of things that people need to do. So if they're in that position, yes, go ahead and pay some things down. However, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe if people have the right investments, they might be able to do both. Not only pay some things down, come in with a little extra money through an investment, or two or three, but also start growing their money. Is that a reasonable assessment?
Yes, it is, because look at it this way. Your 401, you can't touch it anyway. So the 401 is growing, but then you've got your regular salary, you've got savings, you've got your wife's money, so you can usually do both. In other words, you need to be putting more in retirement, and then you can also jointly put more in your debt and have it handled also.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, sometimes you can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, because I think a lot of people look at the budget and they say, well, I can do one or the other. What should I do? And so it's like, well, should I invest, or should I pay something off, or should I just take a vacation and not do any of that? And so I think when people look at their budget, there is a way to, like you say, walk and chew gum. You can have the best of both worlds. You can have your cake and eat it too. And so if somebody was to come over and do a life settlement type of investment, would it be possible? Say they owe like $9,000 in credit card debt. They're in a type of policy. Maybe it's an 18-month. And so when that policy matures, maybe take half of the profit, pay off something, or even a couple of things, depending on how much profit they actually make. If there's enough there, go ahead and do it, and then still have enough left over in the profit to go ahead and reinvest. Is that a possibility as well?
Well, most of our people don't have credit card debt. When you say that, I was shocked. People that are with us do not have credit card debt, I
okay.
just say. They might owe $500 at the end of the month or $1,000. But they don't have $9,000 to $25,000 in debt, because these are people that are all accredited investors.
Yeah.
Accredited investors, first of all, they're worth either $1 million or they make a minimum of $200,000 a year. So that, no, their credit cards are paid off all the time. You're thinking of the investor that's trying to get into an investment that has this kind of debt. And we're looking at them saying, can they really come in business with us, or do they owe too much?
Mm.
That's the one you're thinking of.
Yes.
Is the one that would like to make an investment, but we're looking at his debt load, and we're saying, you know, you need to get some debt paid down before you come to us.
So that's a consideration as well when people are looking at their budget and trying to figure out the next 10, 15, 20 years of you know, how they're going to disperse their income, or, you know, whatever money they've got coming in, whether it's from rental property or a paycheck or bonuses or whatever the case may be. So if they're looking at investments, they're looking at, you know, paying things down, they're looking at, you know, the whole thing, the whole landscape for the next several years. And I guess we've never really touched on this a whole lot, but debt like that is something that is considered when you take on new clients.
That's right, because we find out. And if they ask the wrong question, then I know they've got too much debt and that they can't do this. you know, some people came to me not long ago, and the husband owned a business, but it had never made any money. It was bleeding them dry. I made the mistake of telling them the truth. People do not want to hear the truth. They would rather hear a good gloss over. They want you to gloss over their problems. But if you tell them the truth, you know, you're not making any money. You're eating up the family money. This is the person that has the debt. They're using their credit cards to pay the debts of the company. That's not right. That's not prudent business at all.
So that's not the type of person that would be a good fit for a life settlement.
No, would not, because they've got too much debt.
Okay. And so, because I know people are listening, and there's a number of different scenarios of people's situations. You know, I know people, you know, are living paycheck to paycheck in some cases. I know some people have a lot of money in savings. I know some people, you know, especially a lot of people who are working in the oil field, they've got a lot of disposable income. But then there's a number of people who don't. And so they're looking at, you know, different ways. They're getting that spark going. They're thinking, okay, what can I do? Because, yes, you know, Faye's right. I've been listening for, you know, weeks or months or in some cases even years. And it's finally starting to sink in. Yes, I've got a regular day job. I'm not in the oil business. What can I do? Because I do need to start at some point. So for that person, what would you say to them would be a good starting point to get to a place where they can really start, you know, getting ready for retirement responsibly?
Well, first of all, they're going to have $100,000. So if they don't have $100,000, this is not the investment for them. But if they have at least $100,000and very little debt, which most of our people do, this is a perfect investment. This is for somebody, as I call it, has maturity. In other words, they owe very little. They've got stable income. They've got stable assets. And they're ready for the future. They're ready to get ready to retire in 5 or 10 years. So if they are, they come to see us. I go over their assets. I go over what their income is, what their expectations are, and how much they're looking to make at the end of the trail. In other words, are you looking to have $300,000 at retirement, or $1 million, or $2 million? So, you know, it depends how much a year they're going to need, how much liquidity they'll really need when they retire.
Okay, so person X who has been responsible with you know their money, they've been, you know, saving for a while, they've done the responsible thing, they're fiscally responsible, they know what's going on. This is ideal for them, and what we're talking about is a life settlement, and this is an opportunity to move from. And I know a lot of people are in the stock market and they get nervous, and you know they never know if they're going to have anything left in their portfolio when they wake up each day. Things could change literally overnight, and so for somebody who's getting a little bit closer to retirement, if they've been fiscally responsible, they've got some a little bit of money packed away, this would be great because it's a much more conservative type of investment. A life settlement is not affected by any external sources. Whatever happens in the stock market, it's not affected. Whatever happens overseas, worldwide, nothing affects a life settlement. It maintains its value.
That's exactly right. So it's a separate instrument. It's not like you can't group it with everything else because it's separate. And a life insurance policy, everybody has life insurance, so they know how it works. A life insurance company is a contract between you and a life insurance company that says, when you pass away, we will pay you. Mm-hmm. So that's why it works for us. Life insurance is not like the stock market. You know how much you're going to get paid. It's a fixed amount. The life insurance company is not going to tell you, well, today we decide not to pay that much. They will pay exactly the face amount of that policy. That's why it makes a good investment for us.
Okay. And there's a number of different ways. There's a number of different entities that will buy life insurance policies, and they'll turn around and sell them and do all kinds of, you know, crazy things with them. However, your target is so specific. It's a win-win on every single level, no matter how you look at it. We have tried to pick it apart. We have tried to poke holes in it. We have tried to find the other shoe, and none of these things are there because it is such a sound investment. A life settlement is where people come in and say somebody is diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and that's what really makes your approach so unique and so special and such a win-win for everybody, is that you're only buying policies of people that are diagnosed with stage 4 cancer.
That's right. And I went back this week and I had them do me a 12-month on all the maturities. I said, I want to give me a 12-month dialogue here. So I took it and went over all of it and looked at the ages. The youngest ages that we had maturities was 38. And that was colon cancer. But then the average on all of these was 26% return. So that's pretty good.
Wow.
And that was on $13 million.
Wow.
Okay. And actual maturities, the average was 11 months on all these.
Wow.
And the average month that they went, the average went 26 months was the average. But let me tell you something. We had a whole bunch of them that were 2 months. Can you believe that?
2 months?
We had one, a stage 4 breast cancer, 65 years old, and that one paid 34%. And it was supposed to have went 34 months, and she died in 2 months after we got the policy.
My goodness, that is so fast.
And then we had a kidney cancer, 6 months. We had a bladder cancer that only went 3. We had a lung cancer went 8. Another breast cancer, that one went 18 months. Actual was 11. It was supposed to have been 18, and it went 11, excuse me. We had a 30-month one that went 14, and that was prostate cancer. Let's see what this other one went. Another breast cancer went 3 months.
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
It's like these policies that are coming in early, the ones that you're mentioning here, these are significantly early, not just a couple of weeks or days or anything like that. We're talking about several months. You know, when a policy is supposed to come in 18 months and it comes in 11, that's 7 months early. That means that people can take the same profit, reinvest it almost a half a year early and get a jump start, really get ahead of the ball on their next investment. And so it's a win-win situation. So you're bidding on these policies of people who are diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And the reason that they are trying to sell their policy is because a diagnosis of stage 4 cancer, as we know, is very serious. And it requires treatment. And that treatment is very, very expensive. And people find that the fastest way to come up with a lump sum of money quickly is to go ahead and sell their life insurance policy. And that's why they go ahead and sell them. It's not that these you're not buying the policies of the people that want to, you know, go travel the world, or they want to go buy an RV, or they want to go on vacation. That's for other companies. Yours are just stage 4 cancer because we know the statistics. We know the numbers. And Faye, you have studied these for years. You have even gone and toured hospitals. You have visited with doctors. You have talked to research teams, and you know in and out about how serious and how we know the numbers when it comes to stage 4 cancer.
That's exactly right. And what shocks me is sometimes, and I've said this many times, the 30 or 36 month ones come in early. And I don't know why, except somebody's missing something. This one was 36 months. She's 68 years old. And her breast cancer had spread to the bones, and she was dead in 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah. So all of these, I looked to see how many of each disease came in. And there was a lot with breast cancer. And most of them, as I said, all of them came in early that I show here. One was 24 months. It came in 5. And we had a lot of different kinds. And you know, we talked about esophagus cancer and tongue cancer for the first time this year. It's the first time we'd ever bought anybody that had tongue cancer.
Yeah.
But every one of these had spread. And as I said, the average month was 26, but they came in 16 months early on an average.
Wow, that is so aggressive.
It is. It shows where we have come with this. And it really is amazing. And most of the people were in their 50s.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm looking right here. One was 69, one was 70, and the rest were a lot younger than that.
Wow, that is so young.
Yeah, it's so young, but this breast, whether it's breast cancer, colon cancer, of course, everyone wants our pancreatic cancer ones. They're hard to come by. We don't get very many of those.
Mm-hmm.
But people should also say, all these others, if it's metastasized anywhere other than the original place, it will come in pretty early.
Yeah.
You know, and all we try to always get the ones that have metastasized either to the ribs or the bones. If it's in the bones, it will take you out. If it's in the ribs, it's the same thing's going to happen. You want some that's spread, that's moved around.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're studying that, that's the things I'm looking for. That, obesity, I'm looking about how much pain medicine. If they're on a 9 or a 10 on pain, they're not going to make it. It's
yeah.
just bet on it. They're going through too much.
They're in a lot of pain right there, and so they have to. You know, and that's the great thing. You know, we keep narrowing down the scope of types of policies that you bid on, and that this is why this whole process is so profitable for so many people, because you are so laser-focused. So if we keep narrowing it down even more, yes, stage 4 cancer, yes, these specific types of cancer like you're talking about a minute ago, and then you're looking at things like pain medicine. You're also looking at things that people aren't doing. So, like, if they don't do traditional treatments, that is also something that you consider.
Well, that, and not only that, one that we're closing this week, the man has stopped treatment. If it says stop treatment, folks, it's not going to be long.
Mm-hmm.
So I always look, are they still on treatment? Are they on regular treatment? Or have they gone to Mexico? Have they gone to Europe? And a lot of people do this. They're so desperate, they'll go to Europe, they'll do the orange baths, they'll do the oil, they'll do everything. But then when they come back, they're in such pain, they go to the doctor, and the doctor says, look, you know, there's not much hope now, but we'll put you on all this chemo. Well, then it's too late.
Yeah, because the cancer has progressed.
You should have done that before you left, you know.
Exactly.
But they won't do it. People always think they can beat it, and I don't know how you can. It's hard.
And so it's I mean, you can't, it is very, very difficult to find any aspect of a life settlement that isn't profitable, because we know that stage 4 cancer is so aggressive. We know, you know, how focused you are on the types of policies that you buy. And the thing about this whole process is that this is not just a one and done type of thing. People don't just come in and invest in one policy. No, this is something that people do over time. And this is not just one policy that you're looking at. You're looking at a number of policies every single week. You're always, you know, going up, you know, looking for policies. The policies come to you, but you don't bid on everything that comes across your desk. So just because it lands there and somebody says, hey, this person has stage 4 cancer, there's a number of policies that you'll kick out. You won't even bid on them.
Now, a lot of them say stage 3, and it looks bad, but it's still stage 3. We can't buy stage 3. Because we don't know what will happen on stage 3.
Yeah.
But stage 4, we know what's going to happen. That's what we concentrate on. And then we look to see, you know, is it reoccurring? If it's a second go-around, there's not much chance. So lots of times, especially on prostate cancer, they may have been fighting this for 10 years, but now it's like 400 PSA or 150 PSA. They can't get it down, and they're not going to make it.
Yeah.
Because on prostate cancer especially, we look to make sure that it's in the end stages. And when it says reoccurring, we're on it. And there's just so many variances on all these cancers. Has it went in remission? If it is, throw it out. Don't even look at it. If it's 85 years old, don't look at it. Go on down the road.
Mm.
You know, there's so many things that make it either we're going to bid it or we're not going to bid it. And if it says we cannot find any evidence of this cancer, well, we're not going to take that.
Yeah.
Because if it's not progressing, we have no idea how long it'll be. It might be 5 years.
Yeah.
So we need something that tells us it's immediate. It's in the next 2.5 years.
Yeah, and that's why this is so profitable for so many people, because you know you're looking at a life settlement, you're looking at these policies, you're looking at the policy owner, you're looking at this report that we used to call page 14, which is on page 14 of the summary. They've moved it to the end of the report, so we call it what did we determine? It's like
what did we determine that was the other day? I don't remember, but I know that it's in the last 4 or 5 pages now, rather than on page 14, which we used to could count on.
Yeah, and so all this information is there, and this is for the investor to look at. This is what you see. People can come in, and they're very well informed as they go into this. People aren't just flipping a coin and deciding, sure. No, people can see all this before they make the investment, before they make the commitment. And the wonderful thing about this is not only is it well informed for the policy holder, but people know everything. They know exactly what they're going to get paid. They know exactly how much they would have to pay in premiums if the policy doesn't come in when they say when the doctors think it will, and it goes over. They know how much they will have to pay, so people can weigh all these numbers. They know everything, and that's one of the, I guess that leads us to the risks when it comes to these types of investments. Is one of the risks of a life settlement is that it might go over and you might have to pay the premiums.
That's right. It could. And we tell everybody, when I'm filling a policy, I tell everybody, tell the people what the premiums are. We want them to know. Now, a lot of our people are very wealthy, and they're not worried about that. And so when I say, do you want to invest $100,000, they're the ones that says, I don't want to reduce my amount. I want to put $100,000 in. I go, okay, you've got enough money. You know the risk, and we'll still do it for you. But then I've got other people that I say, I think you should only put $50,000 in, and that's what we do. Someone asked, I think, Tina the other day, well, what do you think about this policy? And she told her, said, well, Faye bought it, didn't she? You know she thinks it's a good policy. So that just about tells the story right there. I wouldn't have bought it if I didn't think it was a good policy.
Yeah.
I would have turned it down.
And it's a big deal for people who have been with you for a long time. For people who are brand new, and they say, well, yeah, but, we're talking about, I want to get in three policies, say. So, I want to give you $300,000 to put in on these policies, but I'm not really sure at the beginning. What people have found is that after the first policy, and correct me if this is not accurate, but I believe that after people go through the first policy or maybe the second one at the most, they're pretty confident that, if it's available to get in, yeah, just put me in it. I would imagine you have some clients that don't even have to read the report. If you say it's there, it's there. They've been with you for a number of years, and they just know that these policies are good. Is that accurate, too?
I think it's very accurate. And, when people have been with us a while, they're anxious every time a policy matures to get that money reinvested quickly, where they can do it again. Especially, most of these are IRAs. So they're all saving for the future, and they're wanting to do it as quickly as possible. And, of course, we've had all these policies mature, lots and lots of them, and right now we're investing just as fast as we can because we have so much money of clients' money ready to go. And we've got a lot of policies. I think we've got 6 that we're trying to get closed right now.
Oh, wow, that's a lot.
We have a lot. And the Reuben policy paid off.
Ooh.
Wow, we went through a heck of a deal on that. Only time in all these years we've had to go through that. But the state of Pennsylvania, I don't know, maybe they were having a bad day. We couldn't get our death certificate. And I sent people up there, then we were calling. Then we finally got the right people, and they gave it to us.
Yeah.
And so that money is now in the bank. That's another $1.5 million.
Wow.
Yeah, so there is people can invest in so many policies right now and become fully invested. Instead of saying, I want just one kind of policy, I've got 6 kinds of policies here that matured in the last 12 months.
Wow.
So it's not just pancreatic cancer. It's not just one kind. All of these are different kinds, and they matured early, folks.
There's a lot of things happening. This is all a fluid process. You know, there's a lot of policies coming in. There's a lot of policies that are paying out. So if somebody has one, two, three, four, even, is it too much to say even $500,000 to come in if they want to get involved and they want to, you know, jump in with both feet? Is that possible?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
And I was just looking here at, you know, we had a lot of colon cancer this year. I'm looking at right now, there's a lot of colon cancer that came in. There was a lot of breast cancer, a squamous cell, liver and lymph node cancer. But I think I had more breast cancer than anything. But I think colon cancer is right behind it. I was just looking. One,
you know, and I know
five of them were colon cancer.
You know, you've been studying these numbers for so long, and you've been watching the trends. You've been really almost analyzing your own metrics. You've been going back over the last several months, even several years, really going back and saying, okay, we've been investing in, like you say, for example, breast cancer or whatever the case may be, a number of the hot ones. And so you've been looking at these and saying, are they still valid, or has there been some kind of a treatment that has reduced the death rate on these policies, you know, these types of cancers? You've been watching them, and they all seem to be still very, very profitable. And like you said earlier, there's new ones that are coming in, like oral types of cancers. And so these are new metrics that you're looking at, and you're analyzing these, and some of the early signs are, yes, these are also just as profitable, if not more. And so you continually, it's almost like you're checking yourself repeatedly just to make sure that everything is still on par. All the data is still accurate, and it absolutely is. And so, yes, if a policy does happen to go over, people would pay the premiums. That's one of the risks. But there's two other risks that are involved with a life settlement.
That's right. It is not liquid during that time. And that makes sense. You've invested in a life insurance policy, and it's not liquid till they die. Then the third one is if a life insurance company ever went broke, it would take you a little longer to get your money. But it is insured with the state of Texas. They insure every policy up to $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
So we've never had anybody have to call on it because the life insurance companies we deal with are the biggest in the world.
Yeah.
And I was going to tell you, Morford, the policy just paid off this last week. It was a 30-month policy. It came in 6 months.
Holy smokes, that's early.
So on Morford, they made 30% on the dollar.
So what this means is that people take that same profit, they reinvest it earlier, which gets the ball, it puts them ahead of the curve for the next policy. And this is an average of what happens over a few years. You know, this is not just a, hey, get in on one and then get out. And I think the excitement that people feel when the first policy comes in, especially if it comes in early like that, you know, I would imagine the excitement is just so thrilling. It's like, yeah, put me in another one. Put me in five more. Put me in, you know, in 10 more. Put me in as many as you possibly can. I would imagine that really gets people really super excited and realize, hey, retirement planning, investing doesn't have to be this downtrodden thing like we've experienced before in the stock market. People really get excited about this, don't they?
They do, and they always send us little notes, thank you, and all kinds of things. And they always say, please get me reinvested as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to tell you, on Mr. Morford, he was 58 years old. And he had stage 4 squamous cell, liver, and lymph node cancer.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, that's the third one this year that we've done. And
wow.
They all came in early. Squamous cell, liver, and lymph node. And the other one was squamous cell and tongue.
Tongue. There's another oral cancer,
yeah,
that we were talking about.
Uh-huh. And we've had two or three of these this year for the first time.
Wow.
And the other tonsil cancer, the man was 63 and it had spread to his lungs. So, you know, it's a new type of cancer for us, but they're coming in early. That one came in, let's say, 13 months early.
13 months early.
Yep.
From 30 down to 7. Wow.
It was a 24-month policy. came in 11 months early.
Oh, my goodness. You see, and that's one of these, you know, as people look at the average of this over time, yes, there's going to be some that come in late, but you have seen a trend over the last couple of years, at least that's my understanding. You've seen a trend that a number of these policies are coming in early. You also mentioned once, if I remember this correctly, you mentioned once that a lot of the doctors are giving these a little bit more conservative life expectancies for when they think the policies are going to mature. They're getting a little bit more conservative, I guess. Is that still accurate?
I think so. And they said that it was going to, like, instead of 24, they may bump it up to 30. But what's amazing to me, all these that they show, 24 to 36 months, all of these particular ones came in a lot earlier than that. So that shows me they were very, very conservative on the way they figured this.
Yeah. Yes, and the great thing is, and you kind of mentioned this earlier, is when somebody does have a 30-month policy, you know, they're going to make 30% on the investment because it's 1% each month. When it comes in early like that, they still get that 30%, but if they get it in, you know, say half the time, say the policy matures in 15 months instead of 30, they still get to full 30, they just get it in half the time, they reinvest it, and people are well on their way to making a lot of money very, very quickly. It's easy to see how the math more than works out and how people can make a lot of money really in a hurry. Now, with that said, a life settlement is not the type of investment where you're going to get rich overnight. So don't go into this with that kind of feeling.
It's a long-term investment, 24, yeah. 30 months, and you have to do it over and over again to get your money built up. You can't do it with one policy or one time. And if you've got four or five policies, if they're over, they'll start bumping and they'll just start coming in. And then the next time, all of them may be on time.
Mm-hmm.
Or they may all be early. You just never know for sure.
Yeah. It's part of a strategy. It's part of a long-term plan for growing your wealth. And that's really the whole concept behind this thing. That's why this works so well. You know, you've averaged the numbers for a number of years, and the math just simply works. And that's why so many people are involved in this and so many people get excited. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring. Right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia, and you always bring interesting, fun things to the table. So what's the topic this morning?
It's going to be the San Jacinto Monument, located in the Houston Ship Channel in Harris County. You know, I've talked about it before, but I had a different reason today to bring it up. The monument, first of all, let me go over its size and scope. The monument is topped with a 220-ton star, and it commemorates the Battle of San Jacinto. This was the decisive battle of the Texas Revolution. And, of course, it was constructed between 1936 and 39. It was dedicated April 21st, 1939. It's the world's tallest masonry column.
Of course.
Naturally, because it's Texas.
Yes.
When a person looks at it, it's majestic. There isn't no two doubts about it. It's one of the most majestic things that Texas has. And so, of course, I'm proud of it, and I know everybody in Texas is. Now, when they started this, they were having trouble even getting the land for it. Nobody wanted to do it. In 1936, the Texas veterans were lobbying the state legislature. They said, let's create a monument to the men who died during the Texas Revolution. Well, you know, our legislature, they made no efforts to get it done. This was the final battle in the 1890s when the funds were finally appropriated to purchase this land where this battle at San Jacinto took place. So then they drew out the boundary lines, and it was 450 acres. Where the
wow.
battleground took place.
Dang.
So they bought the land, but that was all they did to start with. So then the Daughters of the Republic of Texas began pressuring the legislature, saying, we need an official monument to the site of the Battle of San Jacinto. Well, Jesse Jones, he was chairman of the Texas Centennial, he provided the idea for the monument to memorialize all Texans who served during the Texas Revolution. So in March 36, ground was broken for the San Jacinto Monument. Took it 3 years, and back then it cost $1.5 million just to get this thing built. Now then, the reason I brought it up today is they're fixing to reenact the Battle of San Jacinto. Everybody ought to be there.
Really?
It'll be fantastic.
Now that's cool.
I thought it was one of the coolest things I knew about. Now the battle is going to take place April 13th on the grounds there in La Porte. The reenactment will portray the events leading up to Texas winning its independence from Mexico. And there'll be Mexican and Texas camps. You can learn from the soldiers and what they experienced before the battle. The battle will begin at 3 p.m. It will be the largest reenactment in the Southwest.
Of course it will.
Of course it will.
I would expect nothing less.
But the Battle of San Jacinto is so important. It was our biggest battle. It was when we gained our independence. So everybody should go and see this.
That's next weekend.
I know it is.
Oh, wow. Man.
That's why I'm here to talk about it.
That is going to be probably one of the coolest things to ever see. I love to go see battle reenactments because you see people in authentic type of clothing. You see people with authentic type of equipment and weapons and how they just really survived, you know, day to day. You know, they had the fire. They're actually cooking food on the fire like they would have during that time period. It's fascinating. It really takes, you know, the stories and lessons that we read in our books and online or even in movies. I mean, it's one thing to see these things on a screen, but it's another one to be there. You know, you smell the smoke from the fires. You smell things. You hear things on a battlefield. People yelling things. You know, commands and things.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That. It takes it to a totally different level. You cannot get these types of feelings and understanding even through movies.
And to know Texas, you have to know about our battles. You have to know how they were fought, what we fought for. You know, Texas fought for independence, and you know, it was worth the battle. It was worth dying for, and it is worth seeing, let me tell you.
Wow, that's going to be amazing. That is definitely going on the schedule for next weekend.
Yes, it needs to be on everybody's. There'll be a lot of people there. It'll be wonderful. It's worth seeing. And then it's worth seeing our monument. And also, at the bottom of the monument, it has all the history of the battles and San Jacinto, which is worth seeing.
Yeah. And the battle, you said it starts at 3 o'clock, right?
It starts at 3. So you can come early, go out there, visit the grounds, visit the Mexican side, the Texas side, see all their weapons, their uniforms, everything. It'd be a great day.
Wow. It really is a great day. Even just the smells of being on the battlefield, it really puts you in the middle of it. It is really, literally reliving history. It's amazing. So, yeah, if you get a chance to go, that's definitely going on the list for next weekend. So,
and I want to hear about it when you come back. I want to hear about, did you get out there and participate?
I don't know if they'll let me participate or not.
I don't think they will.
That's probably off limits, but boy, if I could, I would. Wow.
I guarantee it'll be wonderful. And so I really wanted to talk about that today because anytime you can visit the reenactment of a battle in Texas, it's worth seeing.
And it's such a pivotal battle in our state history. It's so important.
It's a big one.
Yeah.
This was the big one. And there was so many soldiers involved in that 450 acres.
Yeah.
You know, oh my gosh.
Wow, what a big deal going on next week. I'm glad you brought that up. I had no idea.
Oh yes, I wanted to bring that up. And of course, the battleship is just off of the off of the land there, and you can see the battleship also.
Yeah, so people can really,
that's important.
If they get a chance, maybe leave on Friday early if they can and go out there, because it's not just the Battle of Three. There's all kinds of other things going on all weekend, I'm sure.
That's exactly right. A lot of things to see and do, and as I said, it's really important to see the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay?
Wow. So this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're right next door to Ivy Cottage at 3105.
So we're talking about life settlements, and we're talking about, you know, the fact that people have a chance to be a part of, I guess, a more conservative type of investment, because as people get closer to retirement, you want to reduce your risks. And the goal with all of this is to have a safer way to grow your money so that you can retire. And there's a number of avenues that people can take. So if for some reason, and we'll get into the accreditation here in just a minute for this particular program, but if for some reason somebody is not accredited, if this is not a good fit for them, that does not mean abandon your plan for retirement. Don't just say, well, I can't do this, or this isn't really for me, or I'm not really interested. Don't do that. And if you're planning on retiring until you fall over, it's probably not great. So there are other opportunities besides a life settlement.
Well, that's exactly right. And we have a lot of people that have been calling. In fact, I had 4 calls this week about annuities. And the people all said, I need an annuity. We understand you do annuities. I said, that's right. They said they've been listening to us. So on the annuity side, remember, annuities are guarantee your money from the day you put it in to the day you take it out. It's never directly in the stock market, so you can't have any losses. Annuities never go down. If the stock market makes money on the indexes, you make money. If they don't, your money stays level, just levels out, never goes anywhere. You can make good money. You can take income for the rest of your life. There's just so many good things about an annuity that you ought to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
And not all annuities are like. We don't ever talk about that. Some annuities, at the end of the term, you have to take a payout. You can't just walk away from it. The annuities that we do are walk-aways. If in 7 years or 10 years you want out, you walk away with all your money and all your interest. A lot of them don't do that. A lot of them say at the end of that term, you have to take a payout. And we don't say that.
Hmm.
We say you can have all your money at the end of that term.
So there's a number of options even within a number of options.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And it has all kinds of things inside the annuity that you can invest in.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes it neat. You can take a fixed rate. Well, the next year you say, I don't want a fixed rate. I want to make more money. Well, then you do the indexes. And then you say, okay, I want to split it up. You can do that.
So what do you say to the person?
There's just a lot of ways to do it.
Well, do you have people that come in and they don't really know which way to take? They say, I want to do something, but I don't know what to do. Can you look at their situation, figure out their goals, figure out what they've got to work with, and steer them in the right direction?
We can. And again, it's just like the other investment. The questions the insurance company asks is, how much debt do you have? How much do you owe in your house? How much do you make? And they're not going to let you put money in an annuity if you're overwhelmed with debt. So it's just like anything else that we do. We check what you're worth, what you're making, and what your debt level is.
The goal is to protect the investor. It's not just to swindle people out of anything.
No, it's to protect them from themselves.
Exactly.
You don't want to let someone invest in an annuity. 6 months later, they need the money.
Yeah.
In other words, they didn't have the money in the first place. They should not have done it.
Exactly. And the goal is to make money here, not nothing else. It's literally the only, and that's another great thing is you're not doing a bunch of different things. You specialize in one thing, and that is growing people's money, and that is all you do, and that's why you're experts at this whole process. And so when it comes to a life settlement, people are saying, okay, I love the program. There's very little downside. In fact, as we go through the the risks, you know, you mentioned a company, a life insurance company could go under. Well, if that happens, there's other companies that'll come in and buy it. So it's almost like there are backups of backups of backups of backups. They're almost, and I dare say this, but it's almost like the risks are rather far-fetched. But you'd have to tell them, because
we have to tell people about risk.
They have to know.
And as I always say, there's risk in everything you do. When you get up in the morning, you have to be careful. You might trip on your pajamas and break your neck.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, these things can happen.
Yeah.
So you have to tell people about them, but you can also tell them about the reward if they do the investment. You know, if you can make 18 to 24% on your investments and know you'll get that much back, that's pretty good. The stock market is different. You don't know what you're going to get back. Are you going to get 24%? Are you going to get 18%? Are you going to get 3% back? What will you get? You don't know. It's a big gamble. With this, you know what you're going to make. You know how much you're going to get back. And that makes it, I think, a far better investment.
Exactly. You'd be hard-pressed to find a better type of investment that's any more informed, any more conservative, and still make a ton of money. In fact, you have, this is so impressive, and this is another thing that's great. The program is so impressive in itself, but you've put numbers of actual profits that people have made. Not there's no private information, so you don't have to worry about stealing anything like that, but you have actual numbers of profits that people have made on your website, and people can go and see that anytime.
That's exactly right. Every time we have policies come due, we put them on the web, and something else happened. Our webmaster, she was changing something, and on four or five policies, she took the profit off. And somebody called me and said, "Faye, your profit has gone away." I go, "What?" So we had to get on it and fix it. But she was in there working on something, and she changed it, and there was no profit left. I don't know what happened. But anyway, we did get it fixed right away.
Great, great. And people, they can go see all this information at AmericanFinancialMidland.com. That's how impressive this is. That is how much you are so proud of this program and all the money that you have made for people. And I guess probably the final point of how wonderful a life settlement is and how wonderful the work is that you're doing for people in growing their wealth is that the greatest compliment is when a friend or a family member or a coworker or a trusted person inside somebody's personal circle recommends the program, because they're putting their own reputation out on the line. But they go to their friends and they say, "Hey, you should go talk to Faye. I've made this much money over this many years. You should do it." And that is probably one of the greatest compliments ever.
I think it is. And we have so many recommendations every week. People will say, "Somebody recommend me over here. Somebody recommend me over there." And so then they come because their friends already made a lot of money and they know about it. So they come and get in the program also.
Okay. So be involved. To get involved in a life settlement, somebody does have to be accredited. And that means?
That means either they make $200,000, including bonuses, or they're worth $1 million without their home.
Okay. All right. So throughout the weekend, people may be thinking, okay, this sounds really, really great. It takes very little effort on my part. All people really have to do is come see you. You'll get the ball rolling. You'll get the program started. And at that point, people can just kind of like sit back and essentially wait for the policy that they're in to mature. When that happens, the money gets put in their account fairly quickly, and then they turn around and they reinvest it. It's not like they have to study numbers or do homework, or there's no assignments, there's no essays they have to write. There's virtually no work on the investor's part other than coming to see you and get the program started. And so throughout the weekend, while they're thinking about this, while they're coming and saying, "Hey, I want to come see you next week," what should they do today before they come talk to you?
Well, they need to put their documents together, say this is what we've got our money invested in, this is where our 401k is, this is where our IRA is, this is the old annuity I want you to look at, and bring it over and we'll look at it and we'll help them make a decision.
Okay. And I know this being Saturday, there's nobody actually in the office right now, but people can call right now if they want to. They can leave a message, and you'll call them back and make an appointment. And I assume you have some availability to see some people this week, right?
We'll try to do that.
Okay, excellent. So one last time, Faye, what is the phone number that people need to call?
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring. You can't miss us.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.